Philippians chapter 4, verses 13 through 19. You follow along, please, as I read there. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The subject for our sermon today is entitled, What Do You Want From God? What do you want from God? I like verse 19. The Bible here gives us a clear promise that God will supply all our need. And it's according to his riches, not ours. According to the riches that God has, which is everything. And so that's a good thing. But I think this morning it can be a help to you if we'll apply. We're going to look at the lives primarily of three ladies in the Bible this morning and see how they got what they needed from God and how you and I can learn from their example. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the Bible. I thank you for the truths that we find in it. I pray, Lord, that we would still ourselves and our hearts and our minds and concentrate now in just a few minutes of what we can learn today from the Word of God. We ask that you'll do that. Lord, we pray that you'd take the Word of God and spread it forth. And Lord, that we would use it in our lives. We thank you today for the opportunity of being here. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible here clearly tells us that God will supply. The Bible clearly tells us here in verse 19 that God will take care of us. He also says that, like I said, it's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm so glad for that. You know, my riches here on this earth are only so much, but it's not based on the riches here on this earth for me and for my family. It's based on the riches that God has, which is, you can't even fathom how the riches are that God has this morning. How will God supply our needs? The Bible says here, it's by his riches. It's not by the bank's riches. It's not the insurance company, the riches they have. It's not the baseball owner's riches, and they just got through squabbling over with the players and finally got something settled. It's not the stock market riches, and maybe you have money in that, and I don't know if it's a good time or not. I know nothing about it, but it's not that. It's not a huge retirement nest that we may have. It's by his riches. I'm so glad for that truth this morning. I like the song that's in our songbook, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and the rills, the sun and stars that shine. He has wonderful riches. I like the song in the Bible, in the songbook that we sing, he's able. A little chorus in there. We sing it seems like every Sunday almost we get to it. He's able, he's able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able this morning. What do you want from God? Today, as I said, we're going to see how three ladies got what they wanted from God. I don't want us to get the wrong idea here. This morning we could say, well, what are you saying, Pastor, that we can get whatever we want? Not exactly. I'm not saying that we want that we're wanting this morning to buy a nice Lamborghini, and if we can get that from God, right? Right, Byron? We want to go out and buy us a nice Lamborghini. No, I'm not talking about that. Or that if we want to have a huge home with all the bells and whistles, that God will give it to us. No, that's not exactly what I'm referring to as well. Or that if we want to drive the newest, fastest, fanciest bicycle out there that these young people might want to have. That's not exactly what I'm referring to here today as well. More than that, we're referring to something like as we go to prayer each day for our daily needs and the needs of others. And something that I've been praying for quite some time is, dear God, would you please give us a building for our church? I think God wants us to have a building. I know God wants us to have a building. And this morning, I want us to concentrate on this. What do you really want? How bad do you want something from God? You know, God, I think, sometimes looks down at me and He says, do you really want it, Pastor Turner? Do you really want it, Ben? How bad do you want it? Show me how bad you want it. How bad do you want it, Ben, by your faithfulness in prayer, by your faithfulness in sacrifice and continuing to give to that building fund? And praise God, you see on the little report, it continues to grow, and so that we have something available when the time comes. It may take several years. I don't know what God's timetable is, but this morning I want us to see that we can get what we want from God. Something like this: God, please save my unsaved family members. How bad do you want your family members to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior? I believe this morning, by this short but important message, you can see how God will give you that want. There is no one in this room that would say, I don't want my family members to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We would not say something like that. This morning, every one of us would say, I want my family members to come to know Christ. That is my prayer of many of my family members today that still don't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us Jesus is the only way. But I want them to be saved. I want them to come to know Christ. Something like this: how to get what you want from God, or what do you want from God? God, provide a way for me to serve at Anchor Baptist Church. There are hundreds, maybe not hundreds, there are scores of ways for different people to serve here at this church. Yes, only one person will be the pastor of the church, but that's not the only position that is necessary. We need people to do lots of things. This morning we had an army, literally, of people setting up this building so that we could enjoy this service. And I'm thankful for those men that did that, and somebody setting up the nursery and taking care of that thing. And this morning, if I were sitting where you are, I would be asking God, God, what is there that I can do in the church? What is there? God, give me something. I want something to do. There has to be something that I can do. God, heal my child. God, heal my spouse. God, heal my family member. God, heal my friend. You know, God still does heal today. I believe that. I believe God can touch our lives and heal us in the matter of any time He wants to. The problem is, and the question is this morning, how bad do we really want God to heal us when we need physical healing? We go to the medicine cabinet, we open it up, and we pick out Tylenol number 3. And they're necessary. I'm not saying you don't need to take those every once in a while. But you know what we ought to do is we ought to go to our private place and go on our knees and say, dear God, would you please help me in this, whatever it might be. Dear God, would you please help my family member who's got this problem? And God, I believe you can heal them, and I believe God can heal them. Maybe you know how the Bible, they went through and the pastors or the priests anointed those with oil. I believe God still heals in that way today. What do you want from God this morning? What do we want from God? Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Let's see three ladies and how they got what they needed and wanted from God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 1. Let's look at verse 2. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had three children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of this city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Interesting there. Basically, Hannah's husband, Hannah was unable to have a child. And Hannah's husband basically asked her, am I not better than 10 boys? Notice Hannah gave no answer. Just went right on to verse number 9. So Hannah rose up, didn't say anything, didn't answer that question, had eaten in Shiloh. And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post, a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Look at verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The first person that we're going to look at this morning is Hannah. Hannah, as we just read in the Bible here, was married to a man by the name of Elkanah. Hannah had no children. Hannah had as was custom in this day, Elkanah had another wife, and she had bore children to him. And so obviously there was some jealousy there. The Bible says that her adversary provoked her in verse number 6, or teased her or poked at her and said, you can't even have a child. And you can imagine what was said by this other lady to Hannah. She had no children. She was provoked by her adversary. The Bible here says that it happened in verse 7. It didn't happen just once or twice. The Bible says in verse 7 that it happened year after year after year after year. Hannah, you can't have a child. You're worthless, Hannah. Hannah, I've got all the children over here. Now, you know Elkanah loves me more than he loves you. You can't have a child. It got so bad that Hannah started crying. And then in verse number 7, she stopped eating. She said, I'm not going to eat. I want to have a child. I want God to give me a child. And she even said in verses that I'll give the child back to you, God. And so now she had so many things going against her. She didn't have a child. She could not have a child. She had somebody that was teasing her and poking at her, making fun of her all the time. And then she began to just say, I'm not going to eat anymore. Hannah didn't answer. Hannah didn't know what to do. I desire to have a son, though, was what she said. Everything stacked up against Hannah. What would you and I have done if we had a need in our life and we could not have a child, or obviously maybe that wouldn't be the circumstance, and just one thing after another, people were teasing you and mocking you about whatever it might be, or maybe not as severe as this, but I guarantee you the time will come. Or it got so bad that she said, I'm not going to eat anymore. I want to have a son. The topic this morning, or the question this morning, is basically, what do you want from God? What do you want from God this morning? Hannah wanted a son. Hannah was bound and determined that she was going to have a son. Everything was against her. Everything. She could not. The Lord, for some reason, had shut up her womb, and everything was against her, but she pressed on. The Bible here says that she prayed unto the Lord in verse number 10 and wept sore. Have you ever wept over something in prayer to the Lord? Has it ever gotten to the point where somebody was like Hannah, somebody was poking at her all the time and just saying, see what I mean? You can't have a child. God doesn't even love you, Hannah. See what I mean? Over there, you keep going to that Anchor Baptist Church and yet you still keep having all these problems. God must not be for you. See what I mean over here? You can't have a child. Elkanah loves me better than you. Poking, poking, poking. And yet what did Hannah do? She wept and said, God, I can imagine going to the altar there and going to her knees and saying, God, give me a son. As tears were flowing down her, the Bible says she wept sore. The tears just continued to flow. God, give me a son. Verse 11, I want you to see what happened. She vowed a vow and said, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget me, thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Not only did Hannah ask and want to have a child, she wanted to have a son. Why? So she could give this son back to the Lord. We've got to move on to the next one, but think about the son that she had. His name was what? Samuel. You know anything about Samuel in the Bible? He was quite a fella in the Bible. You know, Samuel anointed the first king of Israel, Saul. You know that Samuel also went to Jesse's house, and he was looking through all the sons, and he went through all of them, and God still hadn't said anything to him. And he said to Jesse, Jesse, do you have any more sons? Because nothing's happened yet in here. He said, well, Samuel, I do, but he's just out there in the field. He's just a young buck. I mean, he's out there tending the sheep. The basest of jobs, Samuel, I gave to my son David. Do you really want me to call him in? And Samuel said, yes, call him in, bring him in right now. And he brought him in. And the Bible says that the Lord spoke to Samuel and he said, this is the chosen one. This will be the next king. And Samuel also anointed him king. Samuel, who held together the children of Israel in a time when they were going against what God wanted them to do. Samuel was the mortar that held those bricks together. And then when it came time for a king, Samuel was right there. Samuel was a great man of God. However, we would have no Samuel if it was not for somebody that wanted something so bad from God that she turned her back on those that were teasing her. She turned her back on anybody that said she couldn't have a child. And she went to God and wept and said, God, I want to have a son and I'll give him back to you. That we'd have no Samuel today if it were not for Hannah and her desire to have something and want something from God so bad. I ask you now, number two, to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 21. What a testimony we see this morning from Hannah. She wanted something from God. Nothing was going to come in her way. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. The Bible says, and then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We see here number two, we don't even have her name. It just says a woman from Canaan came to Jesus because she had a daughter that was sick. And she knew that Jesus could heal that daughter. And she came to him at first and said to him in verse number 22, have mercy, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed. And what did he do? Ignored her. Jesus Christ ignored this lady. Verse 23, he answered her not a word. He ignored her. You ever felt like when you're praying that you're getting ignored? I have. Maybe I'm the only other one besides her, but I guarantee you there's more in here like that. Sometimes you feel like there's no answer. Well, you know what? That lady went to Jesus and didn't even answer her. Just ignored her. He said he answered her not a word. And again she said, and his disciples said to him, Jesus, would you get this lady out of here? She crieth after us. She's bothering us. She keeps begging and something to do with their daughter, but I don't, Jesus, would you send her away? Notice what happened in verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Basically, he insults her. What was Jesus saying here? I mean, he didn't insult her, but he said, I'm come to the lost sheep of Israel. Who's that? The Jews. This woman was not a Jewish woman. She was from Canaan. And basically, he said, I've come to preach to the Jews. You'd think by now, this woman would have said, well, they said this guy was a great man and all this, but man, he ignored me. He says he's only going to the lost sheep of Israel. What's the problem here? Then she came and worshiped him. Now she's worshiping this man that's just ignored her. And she says, Lord, please help me. Then look what happened in verse 26. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Whoa. He compares this lady to a dog now. I would say by now that if I was in her shoes, I would have turned tail and left and said, I don't know what there is special about this guy, but I don't see anything special in him. Notice what this lady said though. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs get the crumbs of their master's table. What an interesting thing that this lady stood there and it was ignored and was maybe mistreated a little bit and maybe being tested a little bit, I would say, by the Lord. And he said to her, great is thy faith. Wow. I mean, that's pretty good where Jesus looks at you and says, you've really got some great faith, lady. Be it known unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed. Just like that. What do you want from Jesus this morning? Hannah wanted a son. Hannah wanted a man-child that she'd give back to the Lord. This woman was so determined. She wanted her daughter healed. I know it's not sunny outside, but we can still be excited about church, right? Just because the rainy season's coming, it's still exciting in God's house, even when it's raining or even when it's gloomy outside. I know it was awful hard for me to get up this morning, too. I look out, and so it was so nice having that sun for about 2 months. But you know what? This woman wanted so bad to get her daughter healed that she took it. The disciples said, get her out of here. Yet she stayed to it. She had her mindset. She had tunnel vision. This is the tunnel, these two blue lines. And all these people over here I wouldn't see. And she didn't see anybody that was bothering her. She just looked at Jesus and said, I know He can heal my daughter. I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to press on. I know He can do it. We have a prayer sheet on the back page. If you didn't get one Wednesday night, take one. There's some prayer needs on there. Some of us have been praying for some of these needs for quite some time. Some have some needs that aren't on the prayer sheet that have been mentioned to me. And it seems like we've been praying for them forever. How bad do you want God to answer that prayer this morning? Do you want it as bad as this lady of Cana? Who just kept coming back and coming back and coming back? Ignored? Maybe put down a little bit? Disciples said, get rid of her. Yet she stayed at it, she stayed at it, she stayed at it. And in the end, Jesus Christ said, wow, boy, do you have some faith. Your prayers have been answered. Boy, I like answered prayer. Isn't it great to pray for something and pray for something and pray for something and then God answers that prayer? I believe that there are so many prayer answers to prayer waiting for us up there in glory. And the problem is we stop maybe one prayer short, or we stop maybe two or three prayers short. Let's be like this lady here in the woman of Cana, who not after one time she didn't stop praying, not after the second time she didn't stop praying, not even after the third time. She just kept right on praying. And God said, I'll heal your daughter. You have got some great faith. This lady got what she came for. She came for help for her daughter, and that's what she got. She got what she wanted. One more this morning in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. What do you want from God this morning? What do you want from God? The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. All right, so that's set up the parable. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, let's see what the parable is. Verse 2 of Luke 18. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth. Notice verse 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. We don't have a name here either. In fact, this is a parable that Jesus Christ told. He started off the parable by saying this, we ought always to pray. Started it off. We ought always to pray and not to faint. He tells the story of a widow that had the Bible calls it an adversary. We don't know what that was. That may have been a person, it may have been a thing, we don't know what it was. But she kept coming to a judge that did not fear God, a judge that did not even care or regard man, the Bible says. And she came to that judge over and over again and said, would you please avenge me of this problem? Would you please help me get rid of this problem? And over and over again, he turned her away. No, I don't want anything to do with you. No, I don't want anything to do with you. And finally, he says within himself, Jesus says in this parable, yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her. The judge didn't fear God. The judge didn't even care about man. The widow needed help, though, from the judge. The judge would not help. Finally, he helped. You know, it reminds me of this in our home. Maybe this has been this way in your home, and it was like this when I was a young person, too. When a child is asking for something from a parent, or when I was asking for something from my parent, I don't know, maybe my mom and dad were different. I doubt it. They didn't usually give it to me the first time I asked for it. Unless it was something I really needed. If I said I needed a pencil for school, they'd get that, of course. But if it was something that they could tell I really wanted, they might say, well, no, not right now. They might say, no, not right now. And it may have been because I didn't need it. I don't know. But I would go back to them maybe a few days later or now it's 10 minutes later, it seems like sometimes. Dad, can I have this? Or Dad, can I do this? No, not right now, not right now. And over and over again, and finally, as long as it's not something that would hurt the child or that we would not want them to do, then eventually I've said it, my parents have said it, okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Okay, let's go. We'll take care of this. Or, okay, where do we need to go? This widow woman did that very same thing over and over again. She went to Judge. Judge, can you help me? No, I can't help you. Judge, can you help me? No, I can't help you. Judge, can you help me? No, I can't help you. Judge, can you help me? No, I can't help you. Ma'am, look, I've told you 4 times, I can't help you. Next day, Judge, can you help me? No, I can't help you. That night while he was reading the Jerusalem Gazette or wherever he was from, I'm sure it hit him. Boy, this woman, I don't think she's going to stop until I help her. I don't think she's going to stop until I help avenge her of this adversary. Maybe I should listen to her. And sure enough, the Bible here says that he helped her. Why? She continually went to him. Why? She really wanted something from him. This story points back, as we said, to verse number 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. As we close this morning, I want to give you this thought. God's mind can be changed. You believe that? God's mind can be changed. All you have to do is take your Bible sometime and turn to Genesis chapter 6. Story of Noah. God wanted to do some big time damage. He was pretty upset with the mankind at that time. And the Bible says, and let me read it to you quickly. Do you want to write the reference down and look it up? Genesis chapter 6, verse number 6. Bible says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God's mind was changed. God was upset. God was going to wipe them all out, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know that word repented basically means changed his mind or he was upset about it. And so Noah had to change his mind and say, look, God, let's not do this. Also in Exodus chapter 32, the same group of people, the Israelites had been delivered from bondage and they complained all the time. And the Bible says that the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. He changed his mind. Why? Because there was a man by the name of Moses there that said, God, if you wipe these people out, how's that going to look? You brought them out of Egypt. You delivered them. You brought them into this wilderness only to wipe them out. How would that look? God, the Bible here says that God repented. The Lord changed his mind and he spared the people because of Moses. What is there this morning that you need or you want in your life? We've seen this morning 3 examples of people that were bound and determined. Hannah wanted a son. Hannah fasted. Hannah prayed. Hannah stayed at it until God answered that prayer. We've been praying, I've been praying as long as I can remember for an uncle. And his name is Jerry. And I have another uncle whose name is Laverne. We called him Zern. We prayed for them. I don't remember when, because I've always prayed for them to get saved. I've always prayed for them to come to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. To my knowledge, to this day, they have not. To my knowledge, to this day, if they perished right now in a plane crash or in an automobile accident, something happened to them, or if they got an incurable disease and they died, or whatever it might be, I don't know that they'd be in heaven. But not a day goes by when I don't think about my unsaved family members, and I say, God, would you please save them? God, would you please send somebody by to give them a gospel tract? God, would you please send somebody by their workplace maybe to tell them about the Lord? And you see, that's why it's so important for you and I to constantly be sharing our faith with others, because there may be somebody around you that somebody 1,000 miles or 2,000 miles or 3,000 miles away is going to the throne of God and saying, "Dear God, please save my lost son. Dear God, please save my wayward daughter." And you might be the one, and I might be the one that is the answer to that prayer. Has nothing to do with the message this morning. But as we distribute gospel tracts, I don't know who's behind those doors that's going to take it and read it, maybe come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't know who is in those streets and in those byways and highways and hedges, as the Bible says, that's there, that somebody, a grandmother maybe right now like mine, who can't go to church, who can't get out anymore. She's sitting in the hospital bed right now as we speak, and because Parkinson has taken her legs away and has to almost be fed now. I don't know another grandmother like that that might be out there praying for that grandchild that's wayward and away from God and has never come to know Him. We might be the answer to somebody's prayer. You see, you have to consider this morning. Somebody prayed for you. You may never know them. You may never know who they were. You may never know who they are. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you to come to know Christ. Somebody prayed for you when you were growing up. Somebody prayed for you when you were a teenager. I needed a lot of prayer when I was a teenager. I hope I had several of them praying for me. And somebody prayed for you now. Somebody prayed for you at college or to get a job. Somebody was always praying for you. And Hannah said, "I'm going to go to God. I'm going to grab a hold. And God, I'm not letting go until you give me a son." And sometimes I think we go to God once or twice or three times and He doesn't answer. And we say, fooey on it. I'm not going to go to God anymore. He's not hearing me. And yet He does all the time. You know what might be happening? As the Bible tells us the story that a young man was praying and Gabriel was coming to give him the answer, and a demon got a hold of him, and they had a battle in the wherever they have their battles at, and they were having the battle, and it took him a long time to get the answer to him, but finally the answer came. He said, "I would have been here sooner, but a demon came and attacked me, and we had to fight him off, and here I am to give you the answer." You ever think that might be what's happening? And I believe that they are battling all around us. I believe God gives us protection, but I believe they're battling all around us. And the point is this morning, what do you want from God? Hannah wanted a son. She kept going to the throne of grace. This woman of Canaan, she wanted her daughter to be healed. She went back three times. She got sent away every time, and she just kept going. And finally, God said to her, "I'll heal your daughter." And then this widow woman, she came to the judge. The judge wanted nothing to do with her. Finally, he said within his heart, "I got to do something." You know, God this morning is waiting and willing and able to answer your prayers and my prayer. But the question is, do we really want it from God? Do I really want a building where we don't have to set up every Sunday and take down on Sunday night? Do I really want a building where we can have Bible studies at any time and extra services or whatever we want to have? Do I really want that? I believe if we really want that and we go to God for that, that God's going to give us that. Do I really want to help people? Do I really pray for the people that give the prayer requests and put them on the prayer page? Do we really pray and ask God, "God, would you please help so-and-so as they go through this tough time?" I believe if we will go to God, the answer may not be what we always want to hear. But I believe that if we get a hold of God, great things can happen in our lives. As you go home today, as you go to lunch today, think about that. What do I want from God? Now again, we're not talking about big possessions and big houses and wealth and fame and all that, but no, what do I want from God? As you go to bed tonight, what do I want from God? God, you know that I've got these needs on my heart, and God, I'm giving them to you today. And tomorrow, go to God. God, I've got these needs on my heart, and you know what they are. I'm giving them to you today. And the next day, God, I've got these needs and desires on my heart. I'm giving them to you today. Would you please help me as I go my way today that I would be and walk just like you would? Three examples. Powerful. God worked through these three ladies to, I believe, teach us. I always want to be taught. I hope that if the Lord tarries, when I'm 75 years old, I don't know why I picked 75, but sounds like a good round age. When I'm 75 years old, I hope that I'll be able to go to people younger than me, people older than me, and just say, "Teach me." I want to always be able to be taught. I was taught this week by these three ladies. I was taught a very, very valuable lesson. Never stop. Never give up. If you want it and God wants you to have it, go to Him. Hannah, boy. It reminds me of something grabbing a hold and just not letting go. That's what I want for my life. God's got blessings for you up there. We got to dial in and keep dialing in and keep dialing in, and the blessings of God will flow. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God today. What a great truth that we have direct access to you. I'm glad we don't have to go to Mecca today to talk to God. I can talk to God right here. I'm glad today that I don't even have to go to a church building. I can come to a community center and talk to God. I'm glad today that when I go home, in my home right there on 11th Avenue, in our house, I can go to my knees and talk to God. And I can go to God and say, God, I really want this for so-and-so. God, I really want this for, I really want this answer. God, would you please work in this heart and in this life? And God, you promise to supply all our need. God, I really want the community to grow spiritually. God, I really want more people to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God, I really want my family members to see Jesus in me. God, I really want to be a comfort to those that need comforting. God, I really want to be excited for those that go through exciting times. God, please give me that ability. God, I want what you want for me. Thank you so much, God, for these three ladies and the lives that they lived. The very powerful, powerful meaning behind their lives. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I ask you that question. What do you want from God today? No one moving around for just a minute. What do you want from God? We have several young people here today. Young people, what do you want from God? I believe the future of our church lies in the young people here today. We have young parents here today. Parents, what do we want from God? Do you want your child to be what God wants him to be? Or she or her? You know, I want my children to be whatever God wants them to be, but I have to sometimes slap myself in the face because I haven't prayed that. I haven't asked God for that. We have seniors here today. The seniors here in our room today, I believe, are some of the sweetest people in all the world. I ask you, seniors here today, maybe you feel that you're in the later stages of your life and there's not much you can do for the Lord. Well, let me say that's not true. What do you want from God? There's a lot you can do for the Lord. What do you want from God? God's willing and able to meet your needs this morning. In a minute, we're going to have an invitation song. We'll ask that everyone would stand for our invitation after I pray. And if you need to come forward and pray this morning, the altar's going to be open. We're done early today, earlier than usual. We're not in a hurry. If you need someone to pray with you this morning, I'd be glad to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this service, Lord. I pray that you bless. Speak to our hearts. May we make decisions for you today. Commitments. God, help us in our daily walk. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand right where you're at, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll take just a few moments. Every Sunday we have an invitation time at our church. If you want to respond and the Holy Spirit has touched your heart, feel free to do so. We have open seats up here. You can come and pray and commit something to the Lord, whatever it may be, if He touched your heart. If you need someone to pray with you, I'm here and available for that. We'll take just a few minutes, heads bowed and eyes closed, and be in prayer this morning that God will work in our lives. There's still time. We're going to have another verse. What about it? God speak to your heart today? What do you want from God? God is wanting and able to help us. We'll have one more verse. What about it? We've had some come today. You know, I want more out of my Christian life than I have now. And God can give it to us. He's the only one. Dear Lord, we thank you today for working in our hearts and lives. I ask that you continue to work in our hearts and lives. Or we're but flesh and dust. But you're Almighty God. And I'm glad you're on our side. I'm glad that we have victory in Jesus this morning. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful truth. Help us, God, to stay determined. In Jesus' name, amen.